The Screwtape Letters is a book by C.S. Lewis, written from the perspective of a senior demon in Satan's hierarchy. Screwtape, the senior demon, is advising his nephew and novice demon Wormwood on how to best win over the soul he has been tasked with securing, who in demonic nomenclature is referred to as the patient. The novel is epistolatory in nature, a series of 31 letters written to impart knowledge and guidance upon Wormwood. Screwtape's letters first appeared in serial form in the Guardian newspaper in London in the 1940s, right in the middle of World War II, and the global conflict of the time creates many opportunities for Wormwood to work on his patient. Lewis's work here, you might have guessed, is satirical in nature, and it's a piece of prose that only someone with Lewis's theological and literary chops could have pulled off. There is a comical side to seeing a structuralized and systematized approach to the evil that humans encounter daily. It's a deeply satirical, deeply humorous, and at the same time, deeply effective exploration of human nature and of the forces that we encounter daily that draw us away from God. Essentially, the whole book explores the idea of what it means to be possessed, a term that might make us uncomfortable sitting here today. Our gospel passage this morning is one of the most memorable passages that we encounter around demons and so-called demonic possession. Jesus encounters a soul who, in Luke's telling, has been possessed by a demon, multiple, actually. There is deep tragedy in the description of the man, how people have handled him, how his demons have controlled him. Something about being in Christ's presence makes the demons scream out loud, and Christ allows the demons to come out of the man and enter into a swineherd, who then subsequently drive themselves over a cliff. There's so much imagery and context in this gospel passage that we could explore, but largely, as I was sitting with this passage this week, I was struck by the thought that our modern age has made this passage hard to comprehend. I would wager that the average image of possession is likely formed more out of Hollywood than it is out of the Bible. And coupled with our modern understanding of mental illness, descriptions like that in our gospel passage might be met with a tinge of skepticism. But what Luke is telling us, and what the other gospel writers are telling us in their accounts of this story, is that evil is quite real. Evil has a real hold on us in ways that we are often left unprepared to deal with alone. So I wanted to see how a contemporary description of possession might help us explore such evil, which is why I bring up the Screwtape Letters. I was particularly taken with one of Screwtape's letters that described a tactic for Wormwood to use. He suggests that Wormwood take the idea of factions, debates, and the partisan spirits of the day and use them as a wedge. I'm going to read a section from this particular letter, but I want you to remember that this is satire, and Lewis is writing from the perspective of a demon. In demonic nomenclature, God is referred to in this passage as the enemy. And he's instructing Wormwood here on how to exploit the debate between pacifism and the English ideal of patriotism, a significant debate in the face of the threats of the Nazi regime and the ongoing bombings of England in the 1940s. Screwtape writes, "I had not forgotten my promise to consider whether we should make the patient an extreme patriot or an extreme pacifist, All extremes, except extreme devotion to the enemy, are to be encouraged. Not always, of course, but at this period. Some ages are lukewarm and complacent, and then it is our business to soothe them yet faster asleep. Other ages, of which the present is one, are unbalanced and prone to faction, and it is our business to inflame them. Any small coterie bound together by some interest which other men dislike or ignore tends to develop inside itself a hothouse mutual admiration, and towards the outer world a great deal of pride and hatred, which is entertained without shame, because the cause is its sponsor, and it is thought to be impersonal. Even when the little group exists originally for the enemy's own purposes, this remains true. Whichever your patient adopts, your main task will be the same. Let him begin by treating the patriotism or the pacifism as part of his religion. Then let him, under the influence of partisan spirit, come to regard it as the most important part. Then quietly and gradually, nurse him on to the stage at which the religion becomes merely part of the cause, in which Christianity is valued chiefly because of the excellent arguments it can produce in favor of the British war effort or of pacifism. The attitude that you want to guard against is that in which temporal affairs are treated primarily as material for obedience. Once you have made the world an end and faith a means, you have almost won your man. And it makes very little difference what kind of worldly end he is pursuing, provided that meetings, pamphlets, policies, movements, causes, and crusades matter more to him than prayers and sacraments and charity. He is ours. And the more religious on these terms, the more securely ours. I could show you a pretty cageful down here. Screwtape makes note that the debate is superfluous, a mere sign of the times, but it is the condition of the heart that the debate elicits that the demons can use against the confounded enemy. More than that, Screwtape describes to Wormwood how to use the patient's own faith as part of this wedge, as part of the faction. He instructs him to get the patient to reorder his life so that the cause, whatever it may be, is first, and that his faith is a means of benefiting the cause. What a fascinating description of possession. Ultimately, possession is a disordering of life. It's a disordering of how God wants us to live our lives. Evil could care less about the actual temporal debate. Evil cares little about which side wins, but more about making sure we express our convictions in a way that distances us from God and from one another. Such evil serves two purposes. Not only does it alienate us from God and one another, but it also prevents any real work or change from happening. Screwtape shows us how evil can easily possess us and distort our views, and we are little the wiser. What might Screwtape's wedge of a debate be today? C.S. Lewis cleverly uses the significant moral quandary of a pacifist stance against the threat of a Nazi regime. And with all the threats of war and active conflicts swirling around us, such a debate is still pressing today. Another pressing issue is the crisis of gun violence and the debate around gun control. We're here today wearing orange in observance of Gun Violence Prevention Month. And we've been running information about gun violence statistics in the bulletin for the past few weeks. It's an issue ripe with the possibility of factions. It's an issue that weighs heavily on all of us, no matter which side of the gun control debate you might happen to stand. I think we can all bring to our hearts and minds recent instances of gun violence. I think we can all feel the collective weight those instances hold on us. I often find myself wondering, why can't we do anything about this? Why isn't there a cohesive movement to address all the things that we share in common and find appalling? Why aren't we addressing the fact that guns are the number one cause of death for children under 17 in the United States? We have coalitions to fight nearly every type of childhood disease so that no child should have to face the reality of death so early. Yet when it comes to the leading cause of death for children, we are stuck in some sort of collective inaction. Lewis's very real theological point, made through a very fictional demon, is that such inaction and the hatred, angst, and despair that comes with it is part of the manifestation of evil, part of the possession of our souls. Evil doesn't care about the debate. Evil doesn't care about the life or death implications of our disagreements. For evil, this is about possession. Evil wants you to mistake the debate for your God. Evil wants you to order your life around the debate, and once you've done that, then all those who disagree with you become the enemy. They're not just disagreeing with your point of view, they're attacking your source of life. And so unspeakable actions seem completely justified once you've dehumanized the person on the other side of the argument. Real change can't be enacted because people's identities have become enveloped, possessed by the debate. When Screwtape gets his way, we are no longer debating an issue with the goal of resolution. We are instead invested in fighting for our cause to win outright because it has become the definition of ourselves. It's both idolatry and possession all at the same time. This is how evil takes control. This is how evil keeps us from enacting any real change in our lives. So what's the remedy? How do we make sure we aren't falling prey to one of Screwtape's traps? If we are like the man in Luke's gospel, possessed by many demons that trap us into an evilly begotten homeostasis, how do we free ourselves? Well, I hope it comes as no shock to you that we can't. Which is very much why we need the good and guiding force of Jesus Christ in our lives, showing us the way of love, showing us the path of grace, showing us the way of true freedom and peace. And this is very much what evil does not want. Because to be in real relationship with God is to begin to see the world in God's loving, graceful, and peaceful eyes, and to turn that gaze towards all of creation. It is to begin to see that no cause, no label is stronger than our shared humanity, our shared status as children of God. And to believe this is to reject all the tricks up the devil's and evil's sleeve. The truth is, as we've been discussing for weeks now, in regards to the presence and guidance of the Holy Spirit, there are many things that our faith compels us to act upon, to change, to stand up against. And when it really comes down to it, it's about standing up and recognizing our humanity amidst the turmoil. It is because of our faith in Jesus Christ, because of our relationship with the source of all that is good, that we engage in a number of causes that bear the marks of the kingdom of God, that bear the marks of our humanity. I believe deeply that gun control is very much a logical application of our faith in a peaceful, loving God who hates to see violence and fear befall creation. I believe deeply that our prayers for peace in all the conflicts of the world help us to enact such peace. We can't be afraid to stand up for our faith, which will likely mean encountering real evil around us. But thankfully, it is our faith that allows us to encounter evil and to know what to do with it. It's interesting that Luke's gospel shows Jesus confronting evil with compassion. But what's revealing is that Jesus doesn't actually treat that which is evil with compassion. No, his compassion is reserved for the human, for the soul. That which is evil is thrown over a cliff. Jesus separates the human from the evil, which would seem to indicate that no person is evil. Evil is something that can indeed possess a person, and yet deep down, Jesus tells us that we are separate from that which is evil. And so it is through our faith that we can see the person who disagrees with us not as evil, but as a fellow child of God. Such recognition forces us to go about the conflicts and conversations that plague us in a different way. It allows us to see the person across from us not as the enemy, but as someone that God also loves and who God wants to see live a fulfilled life of peace, in peace, and at peace. May such freedom be given to us all. Amen.